Warning, the following program contains jokes that may get you contacted by the RCMP. Do not attempt any of these stunts at home. If dark humor mixed with current events hurts your feelings, then go fuck yourself. Viewer's detention is advised.
All right. What did you do? You dirty dog.
We need to be clear-eyed about the seriousness of these incidents. Indeed, several of the individuals at Coots have strong ties to a far-right extreme organization with leaders who are in Ottawa. We're talking about a group that is organized, agile, knowledgeable, and driven by an extremist ideology where might makes right.
Welcome back, everybody, to an unscheduled Plaid Army stream. Tonight, we'll be having a guest join us. He's already sat backstage, so we thought we'd just get right into it. Welcome, Max Genet. Am I saying that right?
Genet. Yes.
Okay. Duly noted. I was here because I kept saying it like fucking Forrest Gump. Genet. Like, I just couldn't help it. It was there, and yeah. Anyways, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing okay, yeah. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I got nothing going on, really.
Nothing? But, well, I thought it would be fun to go over. I put together 20 questions, nothing crazy out of the ordinary. But I thought we'd do a speed round, and after we're done that, we'll go back and look at some of your answers.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Sound good?
That as well. Yeah, sure.
Cool. So, age?
I am 19 years old.
Height?
I have literally no clue.
No idea?
I don't know. I believe my ID says 6'1 or something like that, but that was in 23. So I was a little bit younger, probably a little bit taller.
Okay. Weight. I guess that's probably going to be another unknown, eh?
Yeah, it's a complete unknown. I don't know.
Yeah, you can pass on any of these. Don't feel like you got to fucking answer. Some of these are dumb.
Yeah, I agree. They are.
Yeah, they will be. What is your name and where is it from?
My name is Max Genet. I am French. My ancestry is from the region of Beauce, actually. I am 50% French. So, yeah, I'm very proud of my heritage like that.
Nice. How do you like your steak?
My steak? I really like my steak rare or medium rare.
Good answer. Highest level of education?
At the moment, high school.
High school?
Yeah.
That's all right. Same as me. What education are you currently pursuing?
None at the moment. I am trying to make journalism work. And I'm not going to school for that. I've been told not to do that by very prestigious journalists to not do that.
Yeah, you're probably better off keeping an inquisitive mind, a genuinely inquisitive mind than...
I were to go to Carleton in Ottawa, I would lose my mind. And I think they would lose their mind as well. It would not be a good scene. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Sitting beside the next Rachel Gilmore protege? I can see it.
Yeah, that would not go good.
What's the last thing you built with your hands?
Last thing I built with my hands? I can't really...
Drawing a blank?
No, right. I don't really build with my hands, but I should start doing that, you know? I should start woodworking or something like that. That'd be kind of cool, you know?
There's always something, you know?
Yeah.
But as a man, there's always something to be built. And it can be at different levels, obviously, but... Even if it's a picture frame time. Or like, yeah.
Yeah, like even that. But it's winter time, so I don't really go out that much. But during the summertime, you know, I do like to fix my bike. I love to ride my bike, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that.
All right, sub question. What kind of bike is it?
I don't know. I'm going to be told. I don't know. My bike got stolen, and I was pretty sad. So my great friend, he said, "Hey, I have another bike. Take my bike." So I
Do you know what the thief looked like?
No, but however, it was at a certain mall in Winnipeg, and I have had seen reports by word of mouth that it apparently was people who have a bit of a darker color of skin. So that's kind of what I've heard.
Well, that's a good description, I guess. I mean, it's yeah. You want to be accurate with such things.
Of course you do.
What drink would you order if we went to the bar?
Probably St. Patrick's Day just happened, so probably like a Guinness as of right now. Usually I go with like a rum and coke if I'm out with my friends, but I don't really drink that often.
All right. When was the last time you were in a fight?
Never got into one.
No. Not one?
No, but I do have to train for that, though.
I was saying, like, if we were doing this live, I'd punch you in the face just to get it over with.
So sad I'm not in the room with you, man. It's so sad.
No, it's a rite of passage. You should. That was my next question, is what discipline are you training in?
Right now I'm going to the gym. I go to the gym. I got to work out because
I saw the one that you posted there on Twitter.
Yeah. Right now my shape is not ideal, so I got to gain a little bit more muscle.
And all right.
Eat some more protein. So that's, okay. That's what I'm doing right now.
All right. Well, my intention with these questions is like a year from now, we'll see how many of these are the same. If you're in this for the long game, like, because you seem like a bit of a prodigy when it comes to talking about politics and Canadian politics. So a year from now, I'd like to see where you check in on a lot of these things.
Yes.
It's not a long time.
It's not a long time. It's 365 days. That's actually not a lot. But I think that my first fight might be not started by me. It's going to be started by Antifa, probably. I think that's how that's going to go.
Oh, why do you say that? Are you doing live events or going out in public or anything? Or
in the future, I'm going – so as of right now, I'm going to the Liberal Party convention at the beginning of April. I have gotten some messages and comments by actual liberals who will be there, and they say, you're not going, you're gonna fail at this, but if you do go, I can't wait to see you there. You know, I'm gonna have a piece of my mind with you. That's gonna be a lot of fun. Oh, I'm going to the NDP convention too. That's in Winnipeg, and I'm gonna okay. go there, so that actually might happen just this month. I might get into my first fight there with some
You never know
with the Troons, man. You never know with the Troons.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, you're with what we've seen with their recent violent history. I mean, the one guy freak hanging out in his van that cut up his kids, and then the other one shooting up school out in BC. You're going into the belly of the beast there. That's their party.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, that's the party of the freak show. I have no idea how Avi Lewis is going to actually grow that tent.
He's trying.
Yeah, he's trying, but good luck to him there.
He's been pushing forward this LEAP manifesto for over a decade, I'd say. You know the manifesto that he's written and his political aspirations?
No.
If you can look up the LEAP manifesto is something he's written. And it's just like Mao or...
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like Mao Zedong. Like,
yeah, have a look at that afterwards.
Okay, I will.
All right, next question. What is the last book you read?
I have a bunch of books right here. Trying to think. I read like a lot of different ones at once. This one's probably a little bit more of a famous one that I read before I met Tyree and Wycliffe in Calgary.
Okay. Yeah. Ricardo Duchesne, Canada in Decay.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you say you read multiple books at once, like that's, I struggle to get through one. I power through it, but so you leave a book, go read another one, and then come back to the one you're reading.
Yeah. Like it depends. Like sometimes, well, because books are sometimes like movies or like TV show episodes, right? So instead of reading or like, instead of watching, you know, Family Guy and The Simpsons, you can just read one book and then continue reading the other. So
you're just flipping the channels.
Basically, yeah.
All right. What's your max bench press?
That one I have not tested out yet. I have not. I've been focusing mostly on my legs. I've been doing a lot of leg days with my friend.
Okay.
And I have done some like upper body stuff, really, you know. I have not done the bench press, though. That one is for the future, 100%.
So the picture I saw you posting there, was that the gym you started with, or are you going to be going attending another gym now that Antifa's looking for you?
I really don't know. I'm going to be totally honest. I texted my friend. He's the one that I've been going with because he's the expert. He's the one I'm going to at the Liberal Party convention. He's a veteran with the Canadian Armed Forces, a former People's Party of Canada candidate. Great guy, really. Loyal. Fantastic. But I texted him and he said, who cares? We're going to go back. So,
good. That's your cameraman, is it?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's good to be a, you know, a multifaceted person with you. Camera, security guard. Yeah, you never know what they're going to be like. All right, if you had to sum up your political beliefs in a slogan, what would it be?
I really like the 2016 Trump method where he said, build the wall. I think mine is yeet the jeets. I think that one is great.
All right. That's a good one. A good choice. In the next 5 years, what are you doing to help achieve that slogan?
Well, I'm going to keep making videos online, and I'm going to do more in-person stuff, like after the Liberal Party convention, the NDP convention. I am planning to make my way over to Brampton and to Surrey to kind of document the brown towns of this country. So I'm going to go do that. Buddy. And I'm really hoping that I can influence the Conservative Party. I can influence the Canadian population to wake up to the destruction.
All right, we're definitely going to come back to that. We got a couple more questions here. Who has been your best mentor?
My father.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very good. What is something you've created that you're the most proud of?
Something that I have created that I am the most proud of. Ah, I'm not too sure. I don't know.
That could be the platform that you're on right now. I mean, you've done pretty well for yourself for getting into politics.
I've been talking about the platform. I mean, I was going to mention the platform, but I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's probably have some humility here, you know? But I honestly don't know. I think, yeah, as of right now, it's the platform probably, because I'm trying to turn this into a career. So
good. Well, that's something to be proud of, man, for sure. Yeah. All right. Dog or cat?
Oh, actually, hold on. I think my proudest thing that I have made is I bought a CPC membership. I went into the Conservative Party convention. I humiliated Turban Tim, and then I got back home and canceled it. That's probably the best thing I've done, actually.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get back to that. That's a good question afterwards as well. So dog or cat?
I have two cats, so probably
two cats.
Yeah.
And if I were to give you the powers of a dictator to fix Canada, what would be the first thing you do?
One word. Remigration. 100%.
Well played. Very good. That's the end of the questions. I thought it would be fun just to go over them. I know it may have started weird with height and weight, but those would be good ones actually now to go back and think about. I should take those from you and see in a year after your training, see what changes.
Yeah.
6'1". That's good genetics. Right? Yeah. You should build on it.
50% of me is on that flag right there. So.
Yeah, while we still have decent food security in this country. all right, when you said you went to embarrass, what did you call him, Tim?
Turban Tim. Yes, his name is Tim Apple.
Tim Apple, yes. How did you embarrass him?
So during the Conservative Party convention, they had a motion, and it was to ban non-citizens from voting in the party's nomination races. Now, for anybody, this seems like a clear, yeah, we got to ban that. But what happened with Turban Tim, Pierre Poilievre's second in command, literally his right-hand man? He decided to bring all of the turbaned individuals into the convention floor, and they all voted to keep this. And it's disgusting, really. And I talked to a bunch of different people who are from the Liberals or the NDP, and they say, well, this is a common practice in Canadian politics where all the parties have this. But if they have it, does that mean it's right?
Like, I didn't realize it was you that actually exposed that. I remember that video. Yeah. And it wasn't even just that Tim Uphall was doing it. It's the fact that this was a rule even in the first place. Like, how is that even possible?
I completely agree. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that must have been in place when Andrew Scheer won the nomination for leader over Bernier back in the day, using the what do they call it? The milk cartel to get the votes. Because I remember him sitting there with the milk carton in his thank you speech.
Yeah.
You know, as a nod to them. So if anybody could just vote in the leadership party, like, you could flood it any which way.
Exactly. Our country is attacked with foreign interference. Why would you want to enable that and continue it? It makes no sense. We should crack down on it and stop every single loophole imaginable. But no, we're going to continue it because the Conservative Party and every single major federal and political party in this country is somewhat infiltrated with some ethnic block of retards. So that's where we're at right now.
I agree. I'm just going to read off a couple of super chats here, if you don't mind.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Justice for Father says that Max is a prodigy. And Justice for Fathers again says Max Youth Corps. Thanks, guys. And there was also a subscription given by JWC84. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so what kind of path do you see forward for the country? You obviously see the flaws in a path for, well, yeah, I would like to see, how would you shape the country again with the dictatorial powers, like remigration? What else, how would you achieve power? Or how would you plan on it if this is the path you're choosing?
Okay, so let's be real about this. In the next 15 to 20 years, our country is completely infiltrated to the point of no return. So we don't have a lot of time to actually do this. Second of all, every single political party in this country doesn't want to do that. We have no actual politician who sees this threat. And instead, they're either trying to, for some reason, make it worse, or like the Conservatives, they try to work around it, and it's completely stupid. It's like self-destruction. It's, well, literal suicide. So
I would counter with saying that it already is corrupt past the 15-20 point. Like, we're already in the corruption, and that's why they're acting the way they are, is to try and protect whatever power they can and keep themselves there. I've tried to, you know, get into the Conservative Party or the PPC, or, you know, apply politics, and it's just a way to shut everybody out unless you have unless you can fall in line. So anyways, I'm interrupting your plan. I didn't mean to. Should listen all the way through.
What you're discussing, what you're talking about, is defeatism. It's blackpilling, and they want you to be blackpilled. There are millions of us, millions of Canadians across this country, just like you and I, who have these same beliefs. Because guess what? They're not radical. They're not extreme. They're normal. They're normal for wanting to protect, conserve our country. And anyone with half a brain understands that the extortion crisis, the violent crime crisis, the housing shortage, the opioids and the pedophiles that are currently in our streets, if we just have remigration, it's all going to go away. It's all going to go away. Everybody knows that, right? And all these,
I wouldn't say it's blackpilling, because there is other options other than the system that is set up for us, right? But what? So, do you think creating your own political party, is that the goal, to infiltrate the system that's already corrupt?
I am not too sure what's going on with the Dominion Society in terms of how they're exactly going to get a political party at some point. But what I do know is that they have a movement, and this is a huge movement. We have never seen anything like it before, where all of a sudden, in 7 to 8 months, the Conservative Party, they're being forced to listen to their policies. They're being forced to listen to them on ending the TFW program. Even though the IMP program is a much bigger threat, they're still listening to us on the TFW program. We have gotten so many members. Like, Tyree, he has become mainstream. This is completely unseen and unheard of. We're doing something really good here. And imagine in a year from now, where is the Maine Society going to be at? A whole lot bigger than they are now. That's 100% for sure. And before you start any political party, before, you need the movement. You need the foundations. They have the perfect foundations. They have.
Yeah, they've done great.
Literally, they have the only and the biggest. Like, they literally have the biggest issue in this country in their hands that no one else is talking about and discussing, and that everyone cares about the most. They're the only ones tackling that. So the biggest mistake with the People's Party of Canada is that they didn't start the movement first. And I understand the logistics with Bernier. He was already elected. He had to go somewhere, but he didn't really try to win his seat to get reelected. Why didn't he allocate all the resources to Beauce? Why did he move all these resources into Saskatchewan? Why did he do that? His number one job was to keep his seat, and then he could focus on starting this movement with this new political party. That was his goal, and he failed at that. And
yeah, I remember the election. I had friends with people. I did a stream that night when Bernier, when he ran, actually, and he was out in Alberta. I forget exactly which town, but yeah, it was a bold strategy to go outside of his zone to think. I think I understand why they tried it. You know what I mean? You figured that it would be more slanted conservative, like it was your biggest riding, your best chance or something like that. But I think I agree with you. He should have stuck to his own and allowed Mark Friesen at the time to run in that. Anyways, I'm getting a little off here because I was part of the PPC. I remember that's how I met Daniel Tyree, was at the first PPC meeting in Mississauga. Mm. And I agree, Bernier had everything at the tips of his fingers and just kind of old weighed his way into becoming irrelevant. If that's even a proper sentence, old weighed his way into irrelevance. Yeah, I hope you guys understood that one.
No, I did. Yeah, that basically summarizes it all up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. Daniel has definitely started a movement where, you know, these talking points have never been used before. Besides us, you know, but we're old and tired, so it's nice to see young blood coming and talking about this stuff. Let's find out more about you though. What drawed you to this? Like, what are you seeing in society that you felt that needed to be changed? How do you get into politics at 19? Like.
So, for me, it started when I was very young. I was in the second grade or something like that, and I was scrolling through the books that were provided by my classroom. And there was one book. It was on Africa, right? It was on South Asia. And I'm reading through these books, and I'm looking at the images. And I literally take the book, and I look out the window, and I do like a literal like 3-point. I'm like, what? And I'm like, wow, we have everything a lot better here. I wonder why. And then I go home and I ask my parents. And like I said before, my dad is a great mentor to me. And he starts explaining Western civilization. He starts explaining the history. He starts explaining all these kinds of things to me. And I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. It's so cool. We literally cannot become like that. And what am I seeing? Literally, like 10 years later, we are becoming like that. It terrifies me. It's horrible. So that's really how I started with that.
What was your classroom like, demographics-wise?
White. All white. Yes. I was going to a French Catholic school in Ottawa. I'm an Ottawa native, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of have that, like, red Tory smugness with me at times, which does help. But it was all white. It was all white, and because it was French, there were some Africans who were going to that school, but it was all French Africans, you know? It was all of these, like, prestigious, clean migrants who were dressing like us. They were trying their best to assimilate, and we were attached to a church, and that church had a French Catholic priest. He was from Africa. So for me, it's just like, whatever, like, we're Canada and these people are a minority. I really had nothing against it, but you start to get really against it when we're not bringing the right ones in. So we bring in people who are literal former child slaves and former child war soldiers. Like, what is that? Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. You only bring in people from India who are obsessed with the caste system. Once again, why would you do that? Like, they eat food. It looks the same going in as it does coming out, right?
There's no way to tell if it is or not.
It's literal, like, diarrhea fuel. There's no other way to say that.
Oh, man, one man's shit is another man's treasure, I guess. Like,
yeah, I mean, they literally, like, bathe in, and when they do bathe, which is not common, but when they bathe in their rivers, which is the same as their garbage dumps. Like, why are we importing these people who think this is normal? Like, wow. And then we're starting to get a bunch of ethnic conflicts on our soil. I wonder why people are doing illegal activities. I wonder why a literal country that has no environmental laws or environmental protections, their people are coming here and they don't even care. Like, what?
Wow, man. The last 19-year-old I talked to was a fucking retard. Like, it felt like I was talking to, like, a retard. You just let him, okay, just go away. And, you know, like a waiter, I think, was the last person.
Okay.
It just seemed retarded. You know, you try to make small talk, but this is fantastic, dude. So, white Catholic schools, eh?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't strictly white, right? Like, we had, you know, because...
Sure, it's just the majority of demographics, right? Like, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice neighborhood. Ottawa South, like, very nice. However, by sixth grade, fifth grade, guess what happened? The Syrian war started happening, and Justin Trudeau, he got into office when I was in the fourth grade. I was completely against that guy, by the way. I was, like, paying attention to the election, too. Little, like, fourth grader Max going, like, no, not the majority, no.
Oh, you're kidding me. I can't imagine that grade four.
Yeah, nope, like, I was a big Harper guy, too. I was unaware, in my defense, I was kind of unaware about a lot of the things that Harper was doing, like selling our mineral rights and getting Jason Kenney to be the minister of curry in a hurry. Like, I did not know about any of that.
There's a lot he did that nobody told anybody anything. Like,
exactly. Yeah, so I was just for Harper. Because Justin Trudeau's ideas were stupid.
Well, just think of it. So what year would you have been born in then? You would have been a...
2006.
2006. Wow. Yeah. So every prime minister that's ever been in charge while you've been alive has been compromised, according to CSIS.
Pretty much, yeah. Did CSIS say so?
One of their former... guys had finally come out and he says, yeah, we're in trouble. Like, every prime minister has been compromised. You know, it's not hard to find. I'll send you the video afterwards. There's a couple more super chats here. Adam says things, says, hey, Goy, 19 is a great age. Congratulations on you. Access to hard liquor and cigarettes. They're really great with the filters off of the Schwitz. Now go register yourself as an organ donor. You're doing great stuff.
Okay.
All right. Man in the Mountain says, I like this kid. Can we keep him?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I am here to stay. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere.
And Brian 7316 says, I like Max. When I was his age, all I thought about were cars, girls, and beer. And necessarily in that order. I'll try ink. He'll go far. What? I try... ink, he'll go. I think he tried to say, I think he'll go far. All right, so they're painting you as, like, the next prodigy, eh?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. So now everybody's got to think, how do you compromise them? That's what your enemy is going to be thinking. If you really are a prodigy and this is your goal and you're going to be like the Canadian Nick Fuentes without selling out, without selling out. And yeah, that's your path.
Yeah, it's very difficult to actually compromise me. I don't see how someone could just slip into my DMs and say, hey, do you want to like be employed by like the American government? No, I would never do that. Not in a million years.
What if we hooked you up to the fruit machine, though?
The what?
The fruit machine. The RCMP used to have a machine that they would hook people up to when they worked for the federal government. It was called the fruit machine. Okay. And it would tell if you're gay or not. So they would basically just show you pictures of gay porn and see how your blood would react. And yeah, they would kick gay people out of office.
Wow, that is 100% something we need to bring back. I'm joking. No, I wonder how successful that was. I'm pretty sure it wasn't very successful. Because when you watch like any type of stuff like that, especially when it's man on man, you would get very uncomfortable very quickly.
I'd say, who the fuck sees that stuff out? Can you imagine how many people went off by accident? Like, they just get jarred from it and just like, Jesus, I wasn't ready for that.
And it's kind of funny because if you actually think about it, do you think it's the RCMP officers or, you know, the government of Canada itself? They were so closeted to the point where they had to create to make themselves feel better.
Actually look it up. It's in Wikipedia and everything. Yeah, they banned the fruit machine in like 1954 or something like that.
It's so funny.
That's how they try to get you.
Yeah.
Have you been to Epstein Island?
Actually, I have not, no. I never got the invite.
Good. That's a good answer. All right. Well, according to some of the people out there on the internet right now, you're a loser if you haven't been to Epstein Island.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I don't know how you form that logic, but I really want to get inside someone's head who thinks that way. That would be so fun. It would be like being on mushrooms and being schizophrenic at the same time, or like you just want to kill yourself. It's kind of like one or the other.
Fair point. So your next aspirations over the next 5 years, you're looking at expanding this, I guess you're going to call it journalism or activism or...
I would say this is more of a journalism / activism crossbreed. I'm using journalism, I'm using the truth, and I'm just making videos about it, I'm talking about it, and I'm just using that to achieve my goals, which is the country's goals. It's just better for all of us that way.
What, like, in that pursuit, is it you just plan on doing the journalism, or you think you'd end up moving into policy and even possible politician role in the future? Or how do you think?
I have no clue what the future holds for me. I'm good at journalism. I'm good at the research. I'm able to ask questions that nobody in the media industry is able to ask. Like, for example, at the Conservative Party convention, there were journalists all over the place. It was flooded with these people, and they were right-wing leaning journalists, right? Who are basically invited by the party at that point. Why weren't they able to go up to Apple? Now, I must admit, Juno News, they have these two young journalists that were there, and they did ask Apple the question first, and I literally bombarded and I took advantage of the opportunity, so I stole their questions. He and Bexty was not happy about that, so I am sorry to him. I did apologize. But I did get the better clip. I did ask the better question. And I did.
It was good to come out. That made quite the controversy. So what would be your next step if you just get banned from the Conservative convention? Would you just wait outside that as well? Because that's the trajectory you go on, right? Like, as you ask the hard questions until they basically say, no, you're not allowed in here anymore.
So... a lot of people, they think
this is actually pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I was gonna.
please tell me this is please tell me this is racist. Okay, is that like a compliment or is that an insult? I don't know.
Like, I think it's pretty funny. Like, yeah, when people really say shit like that on the internet, just lean into it, cast a spell on them, and fucking. That'd be great, actually, if you could cast racist spells.
I got called a racist like a few times. I've
seen you got mentioned on Reddit, so you're on your way. I'd like to see you get an anti-hate article in the future,
dude. That is gold tier. That is like okay, the Oscars just happened, right? But this is like better than the Oscars. This is just immaculate award that everybody wants. Like, they write an article about you to explain how racist you are. Like, come on, that's awesome.
Right? Some of the best work I have on me is by them.
Amazing.
When people, amazing. Like, yeah, you could just look at it for a shopping list for your friends, really. There's a bunch of people, great people on that, that anti-hate reports on.
Yeah, no. Harrison Faulkner, he has, like, multiple anti-hate articles, and we were hanging out at the convention together because guess what, he's kind of the only person that agrees with me on basically everything, and we were talking well, not basically everything, but you know, a lot of different stuff. Like, we're both Canadian nationalists, we're both traditional red Tories, like nobody holds that anymore, right? And nobody held that there, so we got along very well there. And I was talking to him about the anti-hate network. And he was going through their website, and he's like, oh, here's some articles that they wrote about me that I didn't even know about. Oh, wait, here's some new ones. It was so fun. Yeah, it was really funny.
Well, hopefully you get your own in said time, right?
I'm getting really
That's what we go for. You should. What would you call that award? Like, once you get an anti-hate article, we should be giving out an award. What would you call it?
I just call it the Anti-Hate Network Trophy. Just
a Haiti or something like that?
A Haiti,
you know, like they call it a Juno and Oscar. It's like just different. The Academy Awards gives you an Oscar. You know the
Gilmore.
The Gilmore.
Not the Gilmore.
That's a special one on its own. Actually, yeah, the Gilmore really fucking award.
Ugh. The Gilmore. Who is the president of the Anti-Hate Network? Who is in charge of that? Because we can just kind
of... As of right now, the director would be Evan Balgord, but it used to be the creator, the founder, would be Bernie Farber.
Wow. He's like the prodigy of like the left. That guy is like their hero.
Yeah, he's the guy. They're quoting him to write laws. He's like... Didn't they just name him digital fucking sheriff of what constitutes hate? Like, I know that he wrote a bill, him and his organization had a big hand in writing the laws that are being passed, and yeah, he was just named something. Flea Stewie's in the chat, she'd know. He's like hate czar of the internet now, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that guy sounds like a total freak. That is disgusting. I was looking up Tommy Douglas earlier today, the founder of the NDP.
Tommy Douglas. Okay.
Wait, is that his name? I literally cannot remember. That's how relevant this is.
No, I'm not sure. As far as my knowledge goes back with the NDP is with Broadbent and like
Yeah, I'm right. Okay. I think so. Yeah, I'm right. Okay, so Tommy Douglas, his views on mental illness would actually get like the majority of the NDP base in mental institutions.
Yeah. Some of the people they're asking just to be their figureheads. Yeah, they would have been thrown in mental institutions back in fucking. No, I remember. Olivia Chow's husband. Jack Layton. He made the party look good. He brought it up to a respectable level, you know?
He did, yeah.
But
someone like Eve Engler says, he's a war criminal. He's a genocidal monster, which kind of encapsulates the modern NDP a little bit.
What? He says who's a genocidal monster? Jack Layton?
Yeah.
Come on. That Abby is so saying funny. That?
Eve Angler.
Eve Angler. Sorry, I was thinking Avi Lewis for some reason.
No. Avi Lewis is retarded, but he's not that retarded, so he would not do something like that and say something like that. That's Savvy something Avi that Eve Lewis. Angler would say. He got disqualified from being a candidate because they didn't want him dragging them down, which is fair. But they probably should have thought about Jagmeet if they're using that logic.
He was a disaster for the NDP.
Yeah, he lost his own seat. That was so funny.
I remember him getting chased out of Brampton by his own people. They're throwing trash at his car.
Like, brilliant. They're throwing trash. They're throwing trash at his Maserati. he had just washed it. That's horrible.
No, it was actually he had security at that point, so he was getting in the back of one of the Suburbans that they provide.
Oh yeah, okay.
Either way, he had to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, he had to go because they were gonna start running out of actual things to throw, so they were gonna start flinging.
Oh no! Yeah, and then the fucking cleanup bill after that would be fucking unbearable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to talk to somebody at this age, you know, that has decent perspectives for once. You talk to a 18, 19-year-old, even 20, they have no idea what a liberal or a conservative is, or they just repeat headlines at best. You know?
I think the youth nowadays, they're more political than ever, and it's because we've never lived in a time like this, really, in modern Western civilization, where we can't even afford anything. Like, we can't afford a house. We can't afford to raise a family. We can't afford groceries. We can't really afford to put gas in our vehicle. We can't afford rent. Like, why is it that I'm looking, you know, to go to the Liberal Party convention, so I'm looking at the flight tickets. Why in the hell do I gotta pay like $1,000 for two flight tickets, like return, right? So it's like four, basically. $1,000. I don't understand. I get so stupid. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So I'm really mad at that. But here, I was thinking about this. I don't think everyone is as polarized as they make it seem. So for example, we all want the same goal, right? We all want to live in peace, live in harmony. We all want to pay like cheap groceries, good quality groceries. We want to buy a house. We want to raise our family. We want to save. You know, we want to have a good job. We want our kids to inherit our savings, and we want to set them off with a good life. We all kind of want the same thing. But the place where we all disagree is, how do we get there? And that is where it turns into a clown show. So we got the NDP. They go, oh, we just got to get more socialism. What? Like, the banks, like, we got, like, you know, like, 5 to 4 or 3 companies that kind of control everything in their own individual sectors, right? So they control, like, a very small monopoly or oligopoly, whatever. They control the banks, the airlines, the groceries, everything. And it's just, why? So I kind of agree with someone on the NDP who wants to completely tear that down. I want to free up the markets, but they don't want that. They want to increase socialism. They want the government to do everything. So right. It's so difficult to actually, like, talk to these people because they're legitimate retards. And it's like, dude, no, like, we have people who control everything. I understand. That's why everything's so expensive. But why do you think more government would fix everything? Why do you think that? Like, that's just so stupid.
Granted, yeah, people think so long as it's their way, ultimate power would be the right way. You know? But I don't see that much difference between the Liberal, Conservative, and NDP. None of them are answering the questions that I want addressed.
Exactly. You
know, not one of them is. They're trying to sell us now that 2025 we had the population of Canada went down, right? But I think everybody knows now. They probably not including temporary foreign workers, people here on student visas, fucking whatever other programs, they can just hide the numbers and say, oh, the actual population of Canada shrunk. I don't believe that for a second.
I think technically it may have, but at the same time, there are a lot of people dying, like, every day of whatever, right? So they just replace the people that are leaving. Also, young people are leaving as well, right? People in general are leaving. So technically, I guess, like, we do have a bunch of third worlders coming in and they're taking up our jobs. They're literally invading our communities. Like, there's a community, a neighborhood in Winnipeg, it's called the Maples. For some reason, the vast majority of the people who live there are from South Asian origins. Like, what the hell is going on there? So it doesn't make
colonized.
Yeah, it's colonization, kind of, but it's the people are so cucked to the point where they vote for it. Like, I don't think we've ever seen something quite like this before. They're so psy-up to the point where they have to vote for it or else they're racist. And the worst part is that whatever party they vote for, it's all going to end up the same, which is the worst part, actually.
Well, it seems like each one of them, the answer to everything is more immigration. Basically, oh, you got a problem with doctors? More immigration. You got a problem with crime? More immigration. Whatever's happening in Canada, we just need more immigration. I
ridiculous.
Went across the country 2 years ago, and everywhere we went was just piles of Indians. Like, everywhere we stopped, it was at the gas stations, it was any town center, even the sightseeing that we wanted to go, it's just Indians. Like, but this is the biggest demographic change outside of a war. That's why it feels like we've never seen this before, because nobody has, I don't think. You know?
Precisely. One thing that I can't understand, why are they... So they say we have an economic crisis, right? So we don't have enough people who are filling certain jobs, or we're not making enough babies, so we gotta, you know, somehow fix that. Now, instead of trying to deal with it domestically, right, which is maybe incentivize our population to have more babies, give them tax breaks, pay off their loans, do something like that. Why is it that their first instinct is to not only import more people, but they're importing people who do not align with us whatsoever? They are chaos. They're chaos waiting to happen. They don't speak our language. They have no idea what the hell happens in a first world country or how any of our laws, our customs work. They don't understand our history. And we could be bringing in people who align with us ethnically, culturally, and linguistically from places like Britain or Australia or New Zealand or even France, you know, Ireland or Scotland. Why are we bringing in people who literally, like, do not have anything to do with this country? Why? That's the question you got to ask yourself. And once you start asking that, it becomes more clear. Our government, they're infiltrated with these people. And they really hate us. And they really hate this country. And they want to see us eradicated. That sounds extreme to say. That really does. But it's also very true. Because these people are extreme themselves. Extreme thing to say. Extreme people. Like,
racially aware. Yeah, that's an interesting thing for people to do. Like, I've seen it in the younger generation. They are definitely a lot more racially conscious. And it manifests just itself in racism. What people would call racism, because you're looking at the other. Are you on the other platforms too, other than, I think I've seen you Twitter and YouTube, your Instagram? And
I am Instagram,
TikTok, and
I don't have TikTok. No, I got shadow banned and I deactivated my account because I got too tired of dealing with that.
So this is your primary source of income. I actually had your GiveSendGo link for your... You were trying to raise money to go to the Liberal convention, that's right?
Yeah, and that's still ongoing. So we're going to try to make that a possibility. And it's looking like it, yeah.
Yeah, I am just going to grab that link to share with the chat. So if anybody wants to support Max and see him get into it with the Liberal Party, why not? The rest of us are too old and tired. Keep doing it. See somebody else fucking go. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen a couple of questions in the chat still. Like, do you know why we're being flooded with third world migrants?
If you look back at Pierre Trudeau with the Multiculturalism Act, you look back at Pearson with the flag change. It just seems like globalism has completely infected these people. Now you can decide for yourself what kind of globalism that is, what is globalism, but at the end of the day, they don't have our country at heart. They actually just don't like our country. They hate it. And they just want us eradicated. It's kind of simple. Like, why are we toppling our statues? And why is the Canadian population okay with that?
And it happens so fast, eh? It's kind of shocking how little... that it really is a failure from the CBC when you look at it. Because if they were showing that they were outraged, it would be played at every hockey game trying to drum up support for Sir John A. Macdonald. They could have done it easily if they wanted to program the population, but they didn't. They hid it from them. You know, they made puff pieces about how it's progressive.
Yeah. Progressively declining the country? Is that what it is? Because that's what it
that's
is.
How a lot of them see it. Decolonialization.
Yeah, I will never fully understand this stupid mentality of colonialism, or like why. Well, not the mentality of colonialism, which, because that's fantastic, but the mentality of we should be punished because of colonialism, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Because at one point in time, everybody was colonized one way or another. And I actually took notes for this this episode here. The Native Americans, did they deserve colonialism for wiping out other Native American tribes and colonizing other Native American lands? Did the sub-Saharan Africans deserve colonialism and to be wiped out off the face of planet Earth because, hey, of the Bantu expansions? Did the North Africans deserve colonialism because they colonized Southern Europe first? Hey, did the North African population, also the Arabs as well, did they deserve colonialism because they colonized the people of Liberia and Southern Italy and oppressing them? Like, did the Middle Eastern nations deserve colonialism? You know, because they also were colonizing each other. So it's like, when does this stupid thing end? Like, when does it end? When? Like, Western civilization went into the West. We gave the indigenous people an amazing gift. And why are we being treated as evil colonizing monsters? Like, colonization is a great thing. Especially when it comes from Europe. Like, I don't understand. Like, Rhodesia, fantastic place. I really, really wish that still existed.
Yeah. So, when you say they want us destroyed, who are we referring to?
They want us destroyed? The politicians who are currently in charge. Like, they're all a part of the same uniparty. Here is the thing. Even Poilievre, even, you know, they're gonna get Avi Lewis, Carney. They're all just so weak and pathetic. They don't care about the country. They really don't. And
no, they have other interests. I mean, interviewing Mark Carney years ago, he even told, I think it was Ezra that interviewed him on the side of the street, saying, you know, you shouldn't go to a banker for political advice. And now he's our prime minister.
Yeah, well, he's a interesting story. He's broken the Conflict of Interest Act several times already. He
doesn't matter.
Is basically funneling Canadian taxer dollars into Brookfield.
Oh yeah,
he's using the Prime Minister's powers to make himself rich.
Yeah, won't it's be really held accountable. Crazy. Nothing you can do about it.
No.
No.
Same thing with Trudeau. I actually made a video in November, and I explained that, like, using the criminal code that we currently have in Canada, I said that the amount of laws that he broke in that code, like, for example, the Aga Khan scandal, the Green Slush Fund, the SNC-Lavalin, this kind of stuff, he would get totaled, like, over a lifetime in jail. He would die.
Yeah.
Why are we not doing anything? Why didn't the RCMP not doing anything? And when Pierre Poilievre, he called that out. He said, hey, this guy should be in jail. They forced him to apologize, and like the weak cuck he is, he actually did apologize. And he said, I never said that, which he did. And he said, actually, I was not calling out the RCMP men and women. I was calling out Lucky, Commissioner Lucky. And it's like, no, dude.
Brenda.
No, the commissioner right now is Zirem, Mike Zirem. Like, that's the guy that you're supposed to be calling out. He's the guy who closed the case on Trudeau. What are you doing? He's an idiot.
It's been like that for a long time. You can't catch them. It's just, once you're in power, you're the guy. You can do whatever you want, and they come trying to prosecute you afterwards, and it just doesn't work. Every one of them have done it since Mulroney. Well, I remember Mulroney taking a suitcase full of cash. He got caught with a suitcase full of cash in the train station. Every one of them has been. I would say even prior to that, they've been compromised. Yeah. Something stronger, more Canadian needs to be built outside the system. They've been neglected for too long.
Yeah. It's really a complete shame with what has happened to our country. And these people, they all must leave office. Like, you start looking at the politicians on every single level, right? So municipal, provincial, and federal. Why are they all so far left? Like, their ideas are so out of the way. They're so stupid.
I think a lot of them just walk into what's already there, and they just go along to get along. There's no way the amount of workload that they give these politicians, they're actually reading through each one of these bills and each one of these briefs and whatever else, and still have time for a catered lunch while they're there. They're just talking pieces. You know what I mean? They go to a party meeting where they get told, okay, this is pretty much the sum of the bill. We're doing this. We want to have all our heads together. And the entire party votes on the same issue, no matter what their minuscule beliefs or what their constituencies actually believe. I think a lot of them are just going along for the paycheck.
Yeah, which is another issue. I do love our Westminster system. It's great. However, the issue with that, it does give political parties a whole lot of power. And the Conservatives, they kind of abuse that. So they are now breeding floor crossers because they want to get people who are not principled and who are not connected with the community. Why? Because when you get those kinds of people, they tend to be for the community first rather than paycheck first. And the Conservatives, they want people who are for paycheck first, because once you're for paycheck first, you can just vote for whatever the leader wants. And that's what they want, right? So you end up with people like Michael Ma, who is a literal Chinese asset. He crossed the floor to the Liberals. Why? Because the Chinese government instructed him to do that. The Conservatives didn't even vet him. What about Chris D'Antimon? Chris D'Antimon, in 2019, the guy gets elected, and he's a blue liberal from the get-go. Nobody does anything about it. Guy crosses. Huge shock. You got Matt Genereux. That guy as well. He's a complete blue liberal. I should not say that publicly, but I have seen stuff, and he's not suited to be a conservative. Like, there's all these kinds of issues going on with the Conservatives where they don't care. They don't care about us. They really don't.
No, they're just trying to hold on to the power that they have. They want their turn at the trough. That's all it is to them. There's no authenticity in Canadian. So I wanted to go back to a couple of things Like you said, you, if I give you the powers of a dictator, you would it would be remigration.
Yes.
Well, first thing I would say is abolish the Senate, so that, that enables remigration to happen faster.
Yeah, I would say that's an okay.
See, it's bold, the thing is that it's been done before.
What someone like, I think it was Harper or Mulroney, when they got into office, they couldn't pass anything because the Senate was full of liberals from the previous administrations, and they just packed the Senate.
Well, that's actually where Harper screwed us, was he left a bunch of unused Senate roles, and then the liberals just fucking, when Trudeau got in, just jammed it full, and they started what was known as the independent independent senators group, where nobody was supposed to be party affiliated, but in and of itself was a group. Like, and it was, and the head of this group was a guy from Malaysia. I forget his fucking name now. I'm so far removed from politics now that I can't remember these people's names anymore. But
that rings a big bell. He's from the Caribbean. He's more of a black guy.
No, it was a full Asian at the time.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. But, yeah, they had a group in and of itself called the Independent Senators Group. And it's like, well, you guys are just doing group politics under a different fucking name. It's like calling yourself anti-hate and hating everybody. So, yeah, I would just abolish the Senate, but...
Or, like, calling yourselves anti-fascist, but then you're really just fascist.
Yeah, you're just running around with masks fucking breaking shit.
Yeah, basically.
You said you were going to go to Brampton and Surrey.
Yes, I'm so excited for that. So,
all right. So Surrey is right now is still under a state of emergency, I believe, because of all the extortions, wasn't it? What happened to all that? Did that just stop?
Well, that means that's an even bigger reason why you should go there. That's a great reason now.
Find out if that province is illegal to wear a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, Vancouver is so messed up at the moment. It's
Surrey and Brampton. I've been to Brampton recently. Got to get your pictures with those big statues.
Yes, I 100% will. Yeah,
and it feels like you're in a different country completely. Yeah,
really. I've actually never been to any of these kinds of places. I haven't. Like the closest I have been. I live in Winnipeg, so. During the 2025 election, I was employed by a local EDA to door knock with the Conservative Party. I left the party after the election. There's a mountain of reasons. I just posted publicly on X. You guys can go look at that one. But basically, yeah, I left the party. Couldn't align with them anymore. And as I was doing this, there's a community in Winnipeg. It's called Bridgewater. It's in the South End. And oh my gosh. I door knock and no one speaks English. They're all Sikh. They're all wearing turbans. Or they're all Africans. Or they're all Asian. Or they're all from freaking Ukraine trying to avoid their war. And it's just like, they can't speak a lick of English. They don't understand what I'm doing. And at that point, yep. I was getting so frustrated. It was really bad. And I feel so bad for door knockers. And it's like, at the same time, how do you not get radicalized by this?
Dude, I got some great places.
Was that?
I got some great places I could send you where the signs are not French or English. It's just Indian. You have no idea what's in that store. If it's a restaurant, if it's a clothing store, you have no idea. It's just Indian on the outside. That's all you see is Indian stuff. Oh, yeah.
Where is the CRTC when you really need them, eh? Where are they? They're here telling us, hey, you can't play songs on a radio station that's like too American.
Oh, that's just racist.
Where can't you tell anybody not to...
They encourage more Indian content. Like when I was trying to watch the Olympics, I don't know why, but I took an interest in the Olympics this year. They had it in like six different... native languages like Uktiuktuk and Cree and Blackfoot or something like that, all these different, and there'd be like six people watching it. Four more people employed by the CBC making that content than the actual people watching it. But I wanted to bring this up. The guy who called you racist Harry Potter, we found his his picture when he was younger, so he was the same racist Harry Potter.
Yeah, wow, that is totally
no, that's funny.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Dagtastic says, what's up with all the Frenchies in the Conservative Party? I don't know. Don't you have to be able to speak French and English regardless to be in politics, don't you? To be in federal politics?
What is he? I have a pretty interesting take on the Conservative Party's place in Quebec. They should get the hell out and they should keep the seats that they have. Because, why are they running people when they're competing with the Bloc? I would say just let the Bloc go for it. Get local conservatives in that area to low-key endorse the Bloc candidate, tell their people to go vote for the Bloc candidate, and then you're not stuck with a liberal majority. Like, I don't understand why the Conservative Party doesn't do stuff like that. I just don't get it. Like, in Trebon right now, they're going to need that seat. Why in the hell are the conservatives running a candidate there? Like, no one's thinking about this, but, like, they're running a candidate there, and they're going to split the vote with the Bloc.
I don't know. Well, I guess there's two different ideologies. One is more of a separatist ideology, and the other one's a federalist ideology. This is weird thing that Quebec has with the Bloc, where it's the only party like it, you know? I would like to see the Bloc Redneck Quad in Alberta as a separatist party under the same way, looking for Alberta interests. Justice for Father says, Max, when you go to Surrey, I'll go with you. Yeah, you might want a few people to come with you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll
Brampton's a wild place. I've seen it. Like, I'll even go on Google Maps now and show you what I'm talking about. It's not Yeah. You'd be lucky to find English or French anywhere around there.
Yeah, we're gonna have to flush the brown. We're gonna have to do that.
It's a different place.
Who doesn't want free plane ride tickets? Like, that's awesome, right? Like, you get free plane ride tickets. You get to go back to your ancestral homeland where you're going to be more happy. Like, what's wrong with that, you know?
Well, a lot of them complain about being here, right? So, I get it.
Oh, they do. And also, they're here. I think there's a confusion with the Khalistanis because they're here organizing in our country. Oh, I'm sorry, but I think that your actual like ethno state is halfway across the world, so they seem a little bit lost, right? And it's not that surprising, right? Like, they're kind of dull people, so we should just buy them free plane tickets and send them back to their ancestral homeland where they can fight the Indian government, right?
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, it's totally great. Yeah,
what, I didn't notice this used to be like a 7-Eleven when I was growing up.
Oh no.
And like, oh, a few different other things.
Are you from Brampton?
Yeah, I was born in Brampton.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss.
Right? I'm a refugee now. I live way up north. I had to get out of there.
That's crazy.
I couldn't understand the language that was being spoken around me anymore. So yeah, I just noticed that it's all
the genocide.
That's it's crazy. All jewelry stores. Yeah, I am part of the fucking Anglo genocide of Brampton. I'm a survivor.
Yeah,
isn't this wild though? Like, who puts this many jewelers in one spot? Like, fancy jewelers, friends. Ruby Jewelers, Sony Jewelers, JB Jewelers, Maca Jewelers, Goldhouse Jewelers, Araham Jewelers, Madna Jewelers, and Newer Jewelers. And I don't know what that one's behind there, behind the sign. But isn't that something?
The only sign that's in English is that warning traffic sign that was back there.
Let's try this next
English sign.
Chat Hut, Roop Shringa, Hair Master.
Dude, I gotta go get my hair cut at Hair Master now. Yeah, I'm gonna get a wicked scalp infection. Yay!
I'm a little more shocked at this, but like, how does any of these stay up? Like, more jewelers?
I have no idea how the market is even sustaining these.
Dubai Jewelers, Big Jewelers. There's a restaurant. Maha Jules Feingold. What the fuck are we doing? What?
I have no idea.
This is part of our country? Like, these people are obviously ripping us off and having business. Like, anyways, that's just demoralizing.
Yeah, that's like pretty bad. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have a blast going to these places.
Oh yeah, no, like I could do a whole thing where I can go into these strip malls and just go inside. Why not?
Oh yeah, you should go over to Shoppers World. That's just where like Sikhs. I think they bankrupt actually. There's just a bunch of Sikhs that would go hang out, sit on the benches, and stay warm inside.
That's quite the going on. Wow.
No shame. Wow. Just walking in, walking around. I sit down, fucking not do anything for 8 hours and go home.
Yeah, that's a little bit crazy. Yeah, like talking about sitting there and doing nothing for 8 hours. I was with my friend and we were walking up north in this neighborhood called Transcona. In Winnipeg, and we were just walking around in like this neighborhood, and there was this like, it's completely infiltrated with the Sikhs, like I don't, and just Indians and like Chinese and whatever, but the brown is now in Transcona, and we were just walking and just looked at this house, and there was this guy, and he was just this old Sikh guy wearing a big white turban with a big beard, and he looked kind of frail, and he's just with a big white traditional gown, and he's just sitting on this like bin, and he just was just staring at us, and we were just so creeped out. We're like,
tell me he's taking shit.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. Just staring at us. And then his like little niece or granddaughter or great granddaughter, I don't know, there's probably like 50 people living in that small house, she's just playing there like beside him, and I'm like, what? Why? Why are you staring at us? Like, that's so
It's
rude.
Not rude in their culture. They just stare at you like, yeah. Yeah, so no plans to go and visit India anytime soon? There's no difference between that and Brampton, I'm telling you. Like, it's, there's no whites. You feel completely uncomfortable. You're going to feel like a target.
You know how they come in this country and they wear their traditional gowns and they blast their annoying, stupid music that no one likes to hear. I'm going to go to India one day. I'm going to wear a plaid shirt. I'm going to wear the most stereotypical Canadian gear imaginable. I'm going to have these big speakers. I'm going to blast the Tragically Hip. That's what I'm
going
to do.
Have you seen the guy going around in the kilt with the bagpipes?
I have, yes.
Yeah, that guy goes on is to like Indian Transit. Like, oh yeah, he's pushing it. That's for sure.
Yeah, there needs to be more people like that guy. These people are
just,
amazing.
Justice for Fathers says, Indian porn in Surrey. Get your carpet, get your samosa, and get your vades with your timmies. Good old white Surrey. Yeah, there's people are really starting to see it. I'm glad that the younger generation is starting to wake up to it. I mean,
yeah, we're tired of it. We're tired.
Things got to happen.
We are taking political power and we're ending it. We're tired. We're done.
No more political power, eh? Well, I don't want to keep you all night, mate. Okay. I would like to do it again in the future and see how you've progressed and how your answers have changed since the last time we've talked. And
of course.
Yeah, see how far along your journey is. When's your birthday? November 21st. All right, so we'll check in at around that time.
Okay, yeah, perfect. That would be a great birthday stream, you know? And I would have gone to Surrey and Brampton by then as well, so that'd be even better.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Well, we could talk after it. After you've tried those experiences, I'm sure you're going to love it.
I'm going to have a blast.
Who does that as a 19-year-old? Hey, you know, they might go on spring break. Maybe I was going to go down to, you know, fucking check out Thailand or a Caribbean country. No, I'm going to go to fucking Surrey.
It's going to produce great content. Like, I'm going to farm the fuck out of that. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, man. Fuck, that's funny. Well, we'll see. If you continue down this path, you won't be allowed to get into any other country anyway. You're going to be stuck here like the rest of us. And, not
perfect.
Able to escape.
Then I'm stuck with fighting for my country. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Right? Is there anything better?
There's nothing better, no. Nothing better.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to keep you. Thanks for joining me tonight, man. I enjoyed this.
No problem. Yeah, it was great to talk to you and to be on. Thank you.
All right. Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. We'll check in with Max again in like a year's time or something. Have a good night, everyone.